Our first lesson for today is from the Old Testament prophet Micah, and how fitting it is that we just read to do justice and love kindness, as that is also from the prophet Micah. Hear now these words. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth, then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be the one of peace, if the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil. We will raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 installed as rulers. Our second lesson for today is from New Testament, the Gospel of Luke. Hear now these words. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and most merciful God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in my sight. Amen. Someone asked me how I was doing during this Christmas season. And I said, well, I'm doing all right. I really like Christmas. And the only thing I don't like about it is the way it affects some people. And they feel so stressed out about making sure that everything is perfect. So if you're feeling stressed out, here's what I want you to do. Just for a couple seconds, take a deep breath and relax. And remember, we're here to celebrate. Merry Christmas. Not perfect Christmas, but merry Christmas. A time of joy and of hope and so much symbolism. I mean, we have all this up front. Think about the other day, we got our tree. We used to get a big tall one, you know, 6-8 feet. Now we get a little short one and put it on a table. It doesn't have room for all the ornaments that we've collected over the years. And being a minister, they're all very religious. Yeah, right. My favorite, I couldn't even find this year, and I don't even know what it means. I don't know about you, but we've gathered ornaments that people have given us, or somehow they made their way into the house. Sometimes I wonder where they came from. My favorite, I shouldn't tell you this, but my favorite one. We have one, and I wouldn't lie to you. It's a martini glass with Santa laying in it. I have no idea in the world what that means, except, well, drink and be merry, I guess. But symbols are so important to this season. I mean, that's why we give gifts. The symbolism of gifting, which took me, by the way, a long time to kind of get straight in my mind, is that we're sharing with other people without expecting, I hope at least, anything in return. We're simply being generous to them. And it's a symbol that we, I hope, as Christians, are saying, this is what God has done for us. Has literally gifted us with God's presence. And the symbols of that gift are, to me, are, I continue to be fascinated. I mean, as I move to the end of ministry, I still am fascinated by them. And especially in Luke. Luke's gospel is so unique in so many ways, but the way that I find it most, the first two chapters. Go home today, take a Bible, steal a Bible from here. I always tell people, if you don't have a Bible, steal one from a church. They'll be glad you took it. We can always replace it. The first two chapters of Luke, go home and read them. They're filled with women as protagonists. That's one of the symbols that we should read carefully in Luke, that it is the women who are in charge in those first two chapters. Doesn't appear in the other Gospels. You know, Mark just has Jesus suddenly appear in the wilderness. John the Baptist is there, right. But there's no birth story. John's Gospel, there's this sort of, in the beginning was the Word prologue, and then Jesus is there as an adult. Matthew has a big, long genealogy and a birth narrative. But the one that we always use at Christmas is Luke's. And there's these two things that we should be reminded of in terms of symbols. One is, it's the women who are the ones who understand what's going on first of all. That something special is happening. You know, you have these two women, Hannah, who is a polite way of saying she's old. She's of an advanced age. I like that. She's not old, she's of an advanced age, so keep that in mind. But she's never had children, though she's married. And all of a sudden, one day, she turns up pregnant. Now, you would think, if it was going to be a symbol of this grand and glorious prophet that she's going to give birth to, that she would be out proclaiming things to all those around her. But what happens? According to Luke's story, she goes into seclusion for 5 months. No one sees her, talks to her. She hides away. And then her niece, or cousin, comes to visit her. And who's her cousin? Niece? Mary. And who is Mary? Mary's this unwed teenager who is pregnant. She's pregnant. And today, we might say, well, you know, this happens, and we have programs that will enable you to carry this to term, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we've gotten to the point where we don't shun people away. I mean, when I was in school, way back when, dinosaurs ruled the earth, a young woman who got in that way disappeared for a year and then came back. Or, being a farming community, the guy married her and they went off to live on dad's farm and help with the work. In this story of the time when Luke was telling it, the woman would have been shunned by all. She faced the real possibility of death. Not being killed by anyone, but death from starvation, for she would have no way to take care of herself. And so these are the symbols that we have at the beginning of the season. We have a pregnant teen and an older woman who's embarrassed enough to hide her pregnancy. And then Mary comes to visit. And this is what one of the, and by the way, this is the reason I believe that Luke is either written by a woman, I know that's blasphemy for some people, or comes from a tradition of a community of women who told the stories to each other and others, or was very heavily influenced, at minimum, by women. Because what happens when Mary comes to visit? What happens is something that I don't think 90% of the men would know happens occasionally until their wife or partner tells them. When Mary comes to visit, the baby kicks. in Hannah's womb. The story says, Hannah says, I felt the baby come alive, kick me. Leap, I think is a word that, and not going to leap very far, obviously, but felt it leap. Who would know that but a woman? But anyway, the symbolism is that God's presence causes joy and hope and possibility, but that it doesn't always happen like we want it to happen, or the culture wants it to happen, or that it doesn't always fit easily into our understanding of what it is we're called to do. But that it happens, and that it's there and available for us to celebrate. So this season, don't expect it to be the same as last. Remember, symbols always point beyond themselves to other stuff, and they need to be interpreted by us. One of the joys of this denomination, of this faith we're part of, is that we have the right, no, we have the expectation that we take those symbols and interpret them and reinterpret them to what they mean for us and our community. So think about the symbols of Christmas. Don't just accept them. Struggle with them. It's about birth, how disruptive that can be as anybody who's been in a family where suddenly there are children, as I said last week. And it's about birth that didn't happen to a traditional nuclear family. And it's about women who came together and stood against the cultural norms of the day and who accepted and celebrated that coming presence of God in their lives and the lives of the world. Let us pray. Gracious and most merciful God, it's a season of joy and of hope and expectation. And sometimes we become overburdened with trying to meet others' expectations instead of yours. Open our hearts and open our minds that we might celebrate this season and give thanks for the possibilities of new life, of your presence in our lives, that we might dare to challenge those who would simply turn it into a time of material exchange and enable us to have the courage to make it a time of joy, hope, generosity, and possibility for all. We ask these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.